All right, welcome to Hebrew Club, you guys. Good to see everybody. Three more weeks left in the quarter, is that right? Hanging in there. Man, the world's longest quarter. We are, for those of you who don't go here, believe me, winter quarter is brutal. We are in Amos chapter 5, and we just finished verse 8. Picking it up, remember Yahweh's talking to the house of Israel, and especially those who twist justice, and you kind of get that in verse 7 already. So it's kind of picking up that thread. Remember, these are the guys that turn justice to wormwood and they throw righteousness to the ground. Verse 8, where we finish then, is this description of Yahweh as the one who makes Pleiades and Orion and turns morning into darkness, etc. And so verse 9 picks up that theme, and that's where we'll start today, verse 9, and then take it from there. So, aha, mavlig shod al az, v'shod al miftzar yavo. So this mavlig, it's like the one who sends or the one who flashes forth. Notice it's a hifil participle from balag. It's not a very common word. In the hifil, it means to smile or to be cheerful or something like that, which doesn't fit here. So some translations, the one who flashes forth destruction or something like that. I mean, you'll see a lot of different English glosses for it because the usage here is unique. All right, so you're working from the context. Showed is destruction. And so notice all of these participles beginning with Oseh in verse 8 describe Yahweh. So he makes such and such, he overturns. He's the one who calls to the waters of the sea. Yahweh is his name. Now he's the one who does this, sends destruction or flashes forth destruction upon the Oz, the strong, and showed destruction upon Miftzar. Batzar means to cut off or to make inaccessible. This is a noun, so you've added a mem to it, a fortress or an inaccessible place. And destruction upon a fortress, Yavo comes. So notice showed is the subject in the second clause, whereas showed is the object of the first clause. So he kind of, you'll see that kind of syntactic switching, not uncommonly. You know. All right, verse 10. Notice now, even the editors have kind of helped you divide the larger units of thought here. So it's as if we're starting a new paragraph. Sanu v'sha'ar mokiach v'dover tamim yeta'evu. Notice that this is a plural from sane, to hate. They hated, or they hate. And it's referring to the ones who twist justice. So basically you're going to see that it's the people in power, the people with prestige and wealth, who are perverting justice. So they hate in the gate amokiach. That's from yakach, to rebuke. Amokiach is a participle, hifil participle, used as a substantive. An arbiter or, you know, a judge. So remember, the kinds of complaints that people would have would happen at the city gates. So they hate amokiach at the gate. Vedover, and one who speaks with tamim, integrity. All right. Yeta'evu, they loathe. That yeta'evu is from ta'av, to loathe. And notice it is a pl, imperfect form. Okay. Again, notice just the switch in tenses from perfect to imperfect. Whenever you're kind of, again, in characteristic speech or descriptive speech or habitual kind of actions, these non-dynamic situations, you tend to have a mixture of verbs like this, and you'll see that throughout this section. Okay. Any questions through verse 10? So notice he seems to be describing a present situation. These people that he's describing, they hate amokiach, and those who speak with integrity, they loathe. So it's picturing them in quite a stark way as against God's law.
5 verse 10.
Yeah, we're on 5 verse 10. Verse 11 now. Notice the lakain tells you, okay, what's going to follow is some kind of a declaration or a command, and that's what you get. Lakain, ya'an, boshas kem al dal, u masat bar tikhu mimenu, bate gazit benitem velo teshvu vam. Therefore, because, ya'an is because. Boshas That's from a root bashas, which means to trample. It's like a polel form, and it's an infinitive construct. That's why you get this chem at the end. So, therefore, because of your trampling upon the poor. And I notice that's a metaphor for mistreating, probably by defrauding them, charging too high a rent. So some translations even will translate it by something like that. You who defraud the poor, something like that. But it's really bashas means to trample. Okay, and a mas'at bar. Notice that mas'at is again from nasa, to lift up. And it's a noun with a mem on it. And here it looks like it means a tribute or a tax. Bar, among other, there's a really variety of means it can have, but bar here seems to mean corn or grain. A tax upon grain. Tikhu from lakach, imperfect call. You take from him, namely the poor. See? So, therefore, because you trample upon the poor and a tax of grain you take from him. Again, notice the switch from infinitive construct to an imperfect form. Okay? Now here's the declaration. Because of that, notice how that line kind of sums up what we've been describing in greater detail previously. Okay? Bate gazit benitem. Houses of gazit. Gazit means hewing, so hewn houses or houses of hewn stone, benitem, you have built from bana. Alright? Second masculine plural perfect. But lo teshvu vam, you will not live in them. From yashav, simple call imperfect. Second masculine plural. You will not live in them. Karme chemed netatem. Kerem, vineyard. Vineyards of chemed. Chemed is desire or delight. So vineyards of delight, we would say delightful vineyards. Remember, whenever you have a genitive and a construct, you have to ask yourself, what's the relationship between the two? A lot of times that second form, that construct, functions like an adjective in English. So vineyards of delight or delightful vineyards you have planted, netatem. Notice how that parallels benitem. Okay, you have planted. Velo tishtu, but you will not drink. What's the root of tishtu? Yes, shata. Very good. So third hey. So call imperfect. Second again, masculine plural. So notice it's parallel with teshvu, tishtu. Everybody see that? So the first one's a first yud. The second one is a third hey. You will not drink et ye nam, their wine, namely the wine of the vineyards. Okay. Questions through 11.
Rhetorically, this is setting up the legal case?
Rhetorically, what it's doing is declaring what's going to happen based on all the evidence that's been given. I mean, notice that the twisting of justice has its untwisting, so to speak, has its consequences. So notice that you can kind of look at it like this. These people have perverted justice against the poor. That's going to twist back on their heads. It's going to come back. So notice, it's very, you build these houses, you're not going to get to enjoy them. You plant these vineyards, that whether you've taken them by defraud or, you've amassed wealth, you're not going to be able to reap the benefits. See? So there's kind of a, let's put it this way. Nice poetic justice. Right. You can see the poetic justice that's coming.
So it's interesting, though, because it kind of evokes Deuteronomy when he says, you're going to come into the land and you're going to live in houses that you didn't build.
Right, exactly. That you didn't. Exactly. See, the curses of the covenant are echoed here.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's good. Okay? Good. Verse 12. Ki yadati rabim pishekem va atzumim chatotekem tzorarei tzadik lokche kofer. For I know many are pish akem, many are your transgressions, from pesha. For I know that many are your transgressions. And atzumim is a similar word to rabim here in this case. Sometimes it means mighty in strength. Here it means mighty in number. And almost uncountable, you might want to say. are your chatokekem, are your sins. Okay? Now he uses two terms again to further describe them. Zorah rei tzadik. Zorah rei is a simple participle from zarar, which means it can mean to bind or to tie, but it can also mean to be hostile. It's used as a substantive and it's a construct plural form. It's a participle plural form in construct. So enemies of righteousness, same thing, lokeche, takers of kofar, takers of, we would translate this as a bribe. Kofar sometimes means a ransom, but it's not takers of a ransom unless you're thinking of you hold something or somebody prisoner for a ransom. But so enemies of righteousness, takers of a bribe, ve'evyonim, and the poor at the gate, hitu. This is from Nata. All right, hifil, that means to turn. And so notice evyonim is the object. So they turn away the poor at the gate. Or you could kind of understand that hitu in the sense of you turn away justice or you pervert justice. So some translations, that's why they add that. You pervert the cause of the poor, something like that, at the gate. Notice that at the gate probably has reference to what we saw earlier in verse 10, to people coming and wanting justice, and these people are unjust. You know, they either turn them away physically or pervert justice for them. And probably a little of both, okay? So remember Amos's big key. It really highlights the justice of brothers and sisters in a community together against each other, right? Hosea was an 8th century prophet that highlighted more their idolatry compared to adultery, remember, their false worship. And here it's the social aspect, what that does to their relationship with other people that Amos highlights, all right? Which is why Amos is often called the prophet of justice, Hosea the prophet of love. If you want two words that kind of summarize their books. Okay, Mike is kind of a mixture, you'll see. Verse 13, Lakein hamaskil ba'et ha'hi yidom, ki'et ra'ahi. Therefore, here's another declaration. The wise one, the one who acts wisely, hamaskil from sakal, to be prudent. Here it's a hifil, participle again as a substantive. Therefore, the one who acts wisely at that time, ba'et ha'hi yidom. That's from damam, so one of those double root verbs. It's a call imperfect from damam, to be silent. Therefore, the one who is wise at that time will be quiet. Ki et ra'ahi, for a time evil, for an evil time it is. Okay, questions through 13? All right, now notice again the editors help you, so do the Masoretes, with starting kind of a new paragraph here. Dir shu tov ve'al ra lama'an tichyu. Vihikein Adonai Elohei Tzevaot itkem ka'asher amar tem. Okay, seek good, darash, call imperative, and not evil. Notice the al is usually used with justice form, second person, you know, they look like second person, imperfect verbs. So you have to presume a form like tidrosh or something, or tidrashu, that is not here. So in other words, seek good and do not seek evil. So you have to understand the verb from the previous. That's why he's using al and not lo. So seek good and do not seek evil, but we would just translate and not evil. So that tichyu, you may live. Again, from chaya, call imperfect. Okay. Vihi kain, Yahweh Elohei Tzevaot itkem. Kain means thus or in this way, and it may be, and Yahweh is the subject of the verb vihi, that's from chaya. So, in this way, and in this way, Yahweh, the God of hosts, will be with you, itkem. So again, notice it's kind of convoluted for English, but in this way, Yahweh, the God, the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts, with you will be. Okay? As kasher amartem, as you have said or as you think. Verse 15. Notice he continues. Sinurav ehevu tov vehatzigu vashar mishpat ulai yechanan Adonai Elohei Tzevaot she'erit Yosef. All right. Again, notice the imperative. Hate evil. Another imperative. Ehevu and love good. Another imperative. Vehatzigu. All right. That is from Yatzag. The verb only occurs in Hifil, and it means to set or to place. So it's a Hifil imperative, and it's similar to seem, okay? And put mishpat bashar in the gate. Notice, it's kind of interesting rhetorically, I mean, I just noticed that when I was reading this earlier, that bashar is always in the middle. Like in English, you always want to put it at the end, but it's always in the middle. Hebrew style tends to put short preposition phrases after the verb, but still it's like he's emphasizing in the gate here because he's emphasizing that's the place where justice should occur. That's the place where even the marginal people in society should be taken care of, okay, and they're not. So that's why he emphasizes hate evil, love good. Now, notice that the previous verses have already given content to what he means by good and evil. Well, evil is to prefer justice and not care for the poor, and to trample on them. The good is to take care of them, deal with integrity, judge honestly, those kinds of things, all right? The next line is very interesting. Ulai, perhaps Yechanan Adonai, perhaps Yahweh will be gracious. From Hanan, call imperfect. Perhaps Yahweh, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the She'erit Yosef, to the remnant of Joseph. Kind of by remnant, he's already kind of predicting a destruction, right? But perhaps if you do this, I don't know if that's how much force you want to put on remnant, but
interesting.
Okay. Any questions through 15?
Well, I guess with that remnant idea, do we know how much Israel had been whittled away at?
Remember Amos prophesied to the north, and it was kind of at the height of the North's strength and prosperity. That's why you see him, especially against the rich and powerful and the leaders, bringing God's word of indictment against how they were treating people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're talking... So the destruction of Samaria wasn't until like 722, 721 BC, and Amos was one of the earlier prophets, maybe 760 or something, you know, from there.
Okay.
Maybe that early, okay? So, yeah... I don't know how much weight you want to put on the remnant, how dark you want to take it, I suppose, you know.
What about the fact that he uses Joseph as opposed to, like, Israel?
It's a good question about the usage of these different terms. You know, it seems, I don't know whether he is using Joseph to go back to... I mean, it's a good question why he uses Joseph and not Israel. The prophets have different usages and ways of differently using them, and sometimes they just overlap, and it's hard to know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Does it represent the north, maybe?
Ephraim and Manasseh are the two kind of biggest, so it may be characterizing the north that way. I mean, that's probably the easiest solution.
I know Hosea uses Ephraim all the time
to Israel. Right. So there's different terms that... Okay. Verse 16. Lakein komar Adonai Elohei Tzevaot Adonai bekol rechovot mispeid uvekol chutzot yomru hoi hoi vekaru ikar el evel umispeid el yode nahi. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, Adonai. In all rechovot, in every square, rechov is like a city square probably, in every square, mispaid is mourning. So you have to understand the verb, let there be mourning, mispaid. Safad means to mourn. And on every chutzot, on every street, again, those are plural, but in English kind of, English usage forces us almost to use a singular as a collective. On every street, they should say hoi hoi, whoa, whoa, or ah, alas. Okay? Vet karu, I'm sorry, not shall, they should, but they will say. So in every, on every square, there will be mourning. And on every street, they will say hoi hoi. And they will call the ikar. An ikar is a plowman. Okay, so they is kind of an impersonal verb. So you might hear a plowman will be called in English style when you have a verb that's used impersonally like this. We usually translate it with a passive form. They will call the plowman to mourning. And mourning to the one who knows the yode, notice this phrase, yode nehi. Nehi is lamentation, a word for lamentation. Yodei is, of course, the participle from yada, to know. The knowers of lamentation, probably best understood as professional mourners. Okay, so both the plowman and the professional mourners, the everyday common laborer, they're all going to be called to mourning. Okay? And in every vineyard, keramim, there will be mispaid mourning. See the sub. See how you get the theme word coming out here? Now notice why. Ki e'avor, because I will pass over. Call imperfect. I will pass over be'kirbeka, in your midst, says the Lord. Now usually Yahweh's passing over in your midst should be good news for Israel, right? I mean, in the Exodus, him leading, he would pass over before them to lead them in the wilderness, lead them in battle. Here, just the opposite, bad news. Okay. All right, very good. We will stop here and take it up beginning at verse 18 with that hoy ha-mitavim et yom Yahweh, talking about the day of the Lord next week. Thank you guys very much.